Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/comicsonline. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
And we're live.
We are?
We are live.
Right now?
Right now.
Can I turn Creed back on?
Now you can turn Creed back on.
Goddamn right I can. Nobody tells Creed.
Nobody puts Creed in the corner.
Nobody. So, I was telling all the people on the... Hey, I did Facebook Live. I feel like I'm official. Like, I'm a big deal now.
Yeah, I went live once. Like 3 seconds.
Accidentally?
No. I just screamed into it and then shut it off.
Stupid phone! I hate this thing. I had a lot of people tune in, man. A lot of people were just laughing at me just being stupid.
That's good.
Yeah. So, if you're listening, thank you.
Hopefully they'll listen to the actual show.
I know. I'm actually going to put a Mixlr link out there right now. /FXBG Pirate.
I always found Mixlr was the easiest one.
It is, yeah.
In my opinion.
It is. I'm actually looking into putting...
Hey, Ulysses Campbell is calling right now.
What?
Hang on. I'm going to put him on speaker.
Do it.
Okay, so Yuli, you're on speaker right now. So...
Wait a minute,
should
I connect via Skype?
You should.
Hey, you should. You know what we'll do?
EK just signed in.
So give us a second, and then we'll bring you on Skype, and you can be on our awesome show, too. Okay?
Okay.
Hey, look at that. I think he's adding you on Skype right now.
All right. Cool.
And we have Yuli.
Holy shit. That was crazy because it went from phone call to Skype to like, that was pretty awesome.
Seamless transition.
Seamless transition.
I know. Well, we're live.
It's like you've never left us.
Right now. Listen. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
If you're seeing this.
Then explain that shit because we have no video feeds right now.
You obviously don't have other plans.
If you're seeing this, there's a problem and you need to put tape over that
Friday
webcam.
Night. Yeah, if you're seeing this, then you obviously don't have other plans on Friday night. Tune in. We love you.
Hey, there's nothing better to do, right?
I mean, I'm just saying, right? Like, I mean, that's what we're here for. So let me give you the rundown because this is super – let me tell you how professional this is. You don't even know what the show is about until you're actually on. Like, that's –
Yeah,
I'm just going to be – we're going to be winging this shit the whole time because – initially, we had plans, and I am going to guilt trip the fuck out of Kevin Goswan because he was supposed to be on. He was like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And he's like, oh, no, my kid.
Like, I have a baby to take care of.
I have a baby.
Responsibility.
We all have babies, Kevin. We all have babies.
I put mine in front of a mic.
That's true. Yeah. You can't see right now, but baby Luca's on mic. So, Yuli, what we wanted to talk about...
There he is.
Yeah, there
he is.
There's my baby.
That's Luca, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. What we're going to be talking about this evening, and hello, folks. Welcome to Comics Online Pirate Radio. My name is Mike Lunsford. Hello. I will introduce everybody around in just a moment. But what we're going to be talking about tonight, we are going to be going into and I talked a little bit about it on my Facebook Live video post that I did just a minute ago.
That's excellent tease, by the way.
Well, thank you. I'm going to start doing that from now on because it worked out pretty well.
No, that's fantastic.
Attract panelists at the last minute.
There you go. See? There you go. In our current state of social media addiction, it has become a very big thing where people have no problem just hitting unfollow, unfriend, because of maybe one post, maybe 20 posts. Maybe you plug your podcast way too much and people get tired of seeing it, so they unfollow you. But I wanted to talk about this in our modern world. Like, is this really the way that you would treat friends? Is this something that you should do? Where's the balance? Like, should you be that guy? The guy who comes out and says, hey... What's that?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can I answer this?
Of course. Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Actually, you know what you can do? You can tease it because we haven't even done the intro yet. We'll do the intro and then we'll go into like the hard-hitting stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So when we come back from our intro, Yuli's going to kick us off.
There, my headphones are a little bit louder. I can hear myself better. Okay. And I got to turn off Facebook because I'm getting dings everywhere. So, like...
If you're getting dings everywhere, I think you got a bigger problem than Facebook.
Hey, if you had the rim shot, you could play it for yourself. But you have a baby in your hands, so no sound effects tonight. Oh yeah, let's introduce everybody. Well, actually, no. Let's play the intro first. Let's play the intro.
We're all over the place.
I know. You know. You got me calling audibles at the line like I'm used to having a scripted thing. I'm used to running the West Coast offense where the first.
I'm afraid the 45 second clock has expired.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting backed up. Delay of game. Yeah. Mike Lunsford.
Damn it, not again.
Let's go. It's Mike DD on the mic over there.
Oh, geez. All right, let's go ahead and start this bad boy real quick here as soon as I can open up our opening music that we have now. Which we have new music for. For 2017. I've got to turn off Eric Harmon or Dan Hartman and I Can Dream About You, which I know is going to upset EK the DJ, but he's going to have to deal. Okay. All right, guys, are you ready for this? Here we go.
Are you ready? Here we go.
For everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online, baby.
ComicsOnline.com and FXBG Pirate Radio Studios presents Comics Online Pirate Radio.
We are starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, broadcast starting.
Tonight's episode, running the show by the seat of my pants. Hello, all you radio internet listeners. My name is Mike Lunsford, and this is Comics Online Pirate Radio. We are into Season 3. This is now Episode 5. We did Episode 4 earlier this week. You guys got to check it out. It was about the Super Bowl. It was about our awesome playlist that we created, which is the hype playlist, because if you're going to go into the Super Bowl, you need to be hyped up, right? You need to be raring to go. So we got an awesome playlist. You can actually check it out on Spotify. If you look up Pirate Radio's hype playlist, it's right there. Yours truly created it. It's a pretty awesome playlist. My name is Mike Lunsford again, but I've got some great guys that are here with me tonight, both physically and through the magical, mystical means of Skype. Across the board from me right now, I've got quite possibly the best off-the-bench, run-into-the-game player you could possibly have, and his name is Eric Meyer. Eric, you are a lifesaver, buddy. Thank you so much for coming to the studio tonight, man.
The Kirk Cousins of FXBG Pirate Radio Productions.
Yeah.
You like that? You like that? You like that?
Yeah. No problem, man. I was happy to come. I literally, like, I just walked in, sat down. Like, yeah. You're like, dude, what are you doing right now?
We're live.
We're going live in 10 minutes. All right, dude. I'm coming.
It's like that.
I'm on my way.
It just reminds me of that episode of Seinfeld where George leaves his car at Yankee Stadium for like weeks at a time, and then there's just stuff everywhere, and then like somebody had broken into the car. George had to break into the car because he lost his keys, and everybody at the Yankees organization thought George was dead. So Mr. Costanza calls Jerry, and the voicemail on there, he goes, "Jerry, George is dead. Call me back." Like it's like one of my favorite episodes. Just like that one piece. For a long time, that was my voicemail on my phone.
Oh, that's
was great. Whenever people would call, it would be like, "George is dead. Goodbye." Oh, man. So also,
continuing
running the board with baby in hand and headphones on his head, his name is EK the DJ.
I'm the man behind the curtain.
The man behind the curtain. Joining us at the last possible second, like Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon, swooping in and blowing away those TIE fighters so Luke can bring it home and blow the Death Star to pieces, his name is Ulysses Campbell.
You're all clear, kid, so let's blow this thing and we can all go home.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Yuli, again, thank you so much for coming on last second, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Let's give you a quick plug because you're fucking awesome and you do a million awesome things. Tell everybody where they can hear you outside of this moment right now.
Well, outside of this moment right now, you can hear me every morning on Arlington in the Morning on WERA 96.7 FM, your community radio station in Arlington, Virginia. If you are outside the listening area, you can stream the show via the website at WERA.FM. That's Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. It is a morning drive time show. I'm afraid you do have to at least wake up. You don't have to get out of bed, but you do have to roll over and hit your computer or hit your radio. You can also hear me on Saturday afternoons on WERA on the Fantastic Forum radio show, again in Arlington. We're on from 4 to 5 p.m. On WERA, and the same stuff applies as far as if you're outside the listening area, you can stream us via the website. And Fantastic Forum is also a television show. We're on in Manhattan. We're on in Baltimore. We're on in Washington, D.C. We're on in Philadelphia and various points in Virginia and Maryland. And you can check the times and the stations in your listening area or viewing area, excuse me, I'm so used to talking about radio, via the website at fantasticforum.tv. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, of course. I mean, that was that you didn't even mention the thing that is the coolest thing ever, because we talked about this on the phone last week. You're not just Ulysses Campbell host and talk show extraordinaire. You're also Commissioner Ulysses Campbell now? Like,
yeah, I'm afraid I am. Ulysses Campbell, elected official. I am the advisory neighborhood commissioner for single-member district 4C03 in Washington, D.C. I have a constituency of approximately 2,500 people, and the advisory neighborhood commission is the grassroots level of politics in the District of Columbia. It is city politics, not federal politics, for those of you who get the two confused. And we deal with everything from zoning issues to alcoholic beverage issues to health and safety and education and all sorts of other very interesting things. So, yes, I am an elected public official, Commissioner Ulysses E. Campbell. That Remember that the next time I call you, so you can have some fun. You answer the phone. And it's, in fact, when I called you tonight, you should have been like, yes, Commissioner.
And as a notary public by the state of Virginia, I can confirm all of what he just said.
Hey, I'm actually an ordained minister, so I mean, like, this sounds like a setup for a joke, you know? A notary public, a minister, and a commissioner walk into a bar, and a guy from Pittsburgh gets drunk and the Steelers lost.
And they do a podcast together.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. And they do a, this is their story. Bum, bum.
I just got promoted to a vet
sympathy as I have in my heart for Steelers fans, the important thing this NFL season is that the Cowboys lost. That's a good thing.
Oh, man. Thank you. Yes. Because let me tell you, it's a dark day when they go further into the playoffs. But what's funny, too, is like I love how any Cowboys fan will talk shit to me as a Washington fan, and they're just like, well, you guys ain't won a Super Bowl since that. And I'm like, hey, guess what? Your team and my team have the same amount of playoff wins since 1994. Yeah. Why don't you blue your way out of that one?
The other thing that gets them is, and this is my favorite part. So not only are they the number one seed with home field advantage throughout the playoffs, got a week off, won the division, they were one and done. Home playoff game, all this stuff. Green Bay rolled up in their shit and dicked them down.
They sure did. Oh, and
yeah, that was a dismantling.
Oh, yeah, but like the best thing about that is we were talking about this on last week's episode, that like Aaron Rodgers right now, if he had a decent defense, that team would be unstoppable. But, like, he is just, like...
Or, I mean, no offense to Ty Montgomery or anything, but if they had a running back, like an actual running
back...
Instead of a wide receiver that they just, like, co-opted into
I mean, he did a great job in what he was asked to do.
I want to do a little skit here with you real quick, okay? You be Ty Montgomery. I'm going to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Okay, you ready? Okay, here we go. Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? We don't have any running backs. They're all injured. What's that receiver's name? Fry? Guy? What? You? What's your name?
Ty, coach.
Can you, you can run, right?
Yeah, I always wanted to play running back.
Then why are you a wide receiver?
I don't know. That's what y'all drafted me as.
Just shut up. Just shut up. Okay, Rogers is going to hand you the ball. You just run real fast, okay?
All right, coach.
You've seen Forrest Gump, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know how they had those signs? We're going to have signs like that for you in the end zone.
Oh, wow.
Run, Ty. Stop, Ty. It's Ty, right? Not Guy?
Ty.
Okay, all right. Run, Ty. Stop, Ty. You got this, right?
Yep.
We're going to the playoffs. Let's do it. All right.
All right, let's go, coach.
That's how it happened right there. Even baby Luca thinks that's funny.
Oh, crap. That's a real baby?
That's a real baby,
that's a real baby.
I thought that was a sound effect because you were like, oh,
no, he just has perfect timing.
Yeah, no.
Maybe Luka's got the drops down.
Yeah, dude. He's a pro, man. Like, more so of a pro than Kevin Goswan, because he's not on the show.
He's probably listening, though.
No, I know. That's why I'm doing it, because I'm being a jerk. And...
Well, hey, look. Sounds like the baby's timing is better anyway.
Yeah. Oh, you got burned twice, Kevin. Oh. Is it safe to say, EK the DJ, that we have another guest, too?
I believe we do have another guest.
We have another guest?
I'm worried.
You're worried.
I'm going to echo.
You're not echoing.
No, you're good.
Okay, you guys can't hear you through it?
Nope.
Nope.
I can hear me through my headphones, but that's not twice, so yes. Wait, no.
Okay, because okay. I don't have my headphones. I was scavenging my room again. It seems like this is an ongoing theme, but...
What are we going to do with you?
I don't know. I'm about as useless as Kevin is at this point.
That's going to be the joke all night.
Oh. He's got a third degree burn.
This isn't fair, because normally the roaster has a chance to roast everyone back at the end, and he's with his child, and he can't be
true.
On the show.
Yeah, we are really. I'm giving him a really, really hard time for nothing. Like, he legitimately is like, busy. Like,
he is being a good dad.
He absolutely is. Like, it's... we just love giving him a hard time, because for the most part, he can take it. I mean, he could be sobbing like crocodile tears right now as we shit on him repeatedly.
And the only reason I can do this with baby in tow is because the studio is attached to my house.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty convenient.
It works out. It works out for everybody. The very sweet and lovely voice that you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, that is Miss J. Dilla joining us via Skype. I was ready to give her shit too, but she did have a legitimate reason for not being on. She's like, "Holy shit, my phone died. I couldn't reach you at all." So, I
deleted my Facebook a few weeks ago. So,
wow.
Oh no, why did you delete your Facebook?
Because politics and everyone's opinion is really overwhelming all of the time.
And that's a great segue to apparently where we were going.
God, she's such a pro.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know. It's like my sixth sense for podcasts.
God, she's a natural, dude. Like, this is why we have her on. JDL, you couldn't have done better with that. That was friggin' perfect. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
All right, well, look.
Yeah.
In that case, I'm going to pivot now back to the tease.
I like it.
Because you were talking about this phenomena where people delete their friends, and I'm doing friends with air quotes, because the first caveat that I would throw out is there are a number of people that I am connected with via Facebook that I've never actually met.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole notion of friendship, and when you say Facebook friend, maybe they're a real friend, maybe they're not. Maybe it's more of a virtual kind of friendship. The other thing is that generally with people that I have come to know over a period of time, you know, we have similar interests, or there's some sort of history, something that connects us on which we share some common ground. It's considerably less likely on social media that you're going to have something like that. And given all those different variables, depending on, I mean, because let's face it, right now, we're not just talking about differing political opinions. I mean, I'm I'm not going to tell that lie anymore, but I'm registered as a Democrat.
Okay.
And I generally now in local elections, I'm not going to kid you, I voted Republican in different cases here in the district. But that's because on a local level, sometimes even on a state level, I found you can support Republicans. It isn't until you get to a national level where things start to get questionable as far as the Republican Party.
Yeah.
But so now taking all of that into consideration, it's highly likely, especially in the current climate, that if you know, you're on one side of the aisle and there's somebody else who's on the other side, and they begin to express some just totally, frankly, indefensible kind of position, I don't think it's unreasonable that you should decide that you want absolutely nothing to do with them. And so you now my first option is to unfollow somebody, because chances are I don't have to see their opinions. I don't have to be bothered by it. But sometimes if you have made a comment on a post, or if there's something you posted on your own page and somebody decides they want to
make some extended commentary, that may not be acceptable, especially depending on the nature of whatever it is that they have decided upon which to comment.
Yeah, when I find somebody's posting things that I don't, that I find undefensible, and then say you make a comment, and again, it just things just get worse and worse. That's where I see that it's okay to unfriend someone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well, and let me just state this right now up front, too, okay? And I'm going to put this disclaimer out there for this episode. For anybody listening here, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Red Party, Purple Party, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, it's not about what party you affiliate with or what you do or who you vote for. It's how you treat others in your day-to-day life, period. And I don't want ever for that, and Yuli, I understand, because I vote the same way. For the most part, I'm very Democrat. But also, too, on the state level, like you said, I have voted Republican. Because for me, it's not about the party. It's about the person. It's about, like, that's who you're voting for.
And if everybody felt that way, this country would be run much better.
But EK and I have talked at many, many, many occasions and said the party system needs to just be obliterated.
Yes.
And that, like...
Dude, I thought you were going to throw me under the bus right there. I really did.
No. Well, EK one time told me that he thinks that Obama ate babies, and that's how he...
That's how he gained his superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no.
I was waiting for EK, and I have had many disagreements because of his support of Trump.
No,
but that's a convoluted statement.
No, there are, and like I'm not going to call anybody out because there's another person that's on. You know what? Fuck it. Steve Monick voted for Trump, and he was able to at least explain to me why without turning it into you liberals down there. Like he.
Well, there's a difference between there's something that people have forgotten how to do.
Yeah.
And that is agreeing to disagree.
To a certain degree, I'm feeling you on that
like,
one.
I can accept that your opinion is different than mine.
Yeah.
I can accept that it's pointless to argue about it because our opinions are so radically different.
Yeah.
And I can accept that we can remain friends regardless of that opinion.
Yes.
And that fault mostly, in my opinion, lies on social media because people will get into these arguments over social media that you would not find in person.
I feel like a lot of people will say some stuff on Facebook they would never say to each other face
to face. You would never say that to somebody's face.
Like, yeah. And
I don't know.
out of curiosity.
Not everybody.
Out of curiosity.
There's always cases.
Out of curiosity, go around the table here. Ladies first, where do you go for your news? J. Dilla?
I've been strictly avoiding it.
Okay, so you actively avoid reading the news from any source.
Well, yeah, because everything I've... We get the newspaper. I read the newspaper, but mostly that's local news because I live in Richmond and it's a city. So, like a busy city. They're always talking about things that are happening and our local stuff going on in this baseball stadium. And I guess online, but everything online, I thoroughly fact check before I decide to discuss it with anyone because I don't want to be that moron.
And we appreciate that.
I don't know. I think that I have a little bit of an opinion about the agreeing to disagree because just 2 weeks ago, there was a man walking down my street screaming, "This is Trump's America." And there were two women of color on the street and he got in their face, like touching their nose with his face. And he said, "Go back to your fucking country. I pay my taxes. You're not welcome here." And the fact that I saw that out of my own window, my front window in Richmond, where this is such a diverse city, it's so progressive compared to so many other places, especially in Virginia. And for that to happen right in front of me and being a queer person who's like, I've been called a faggot before, even though I'm a woman, it's still a thing. My partner has gotten... assaulted and jumped because of their sexual orientation, and to be complacent in somebody's opinion to basically hate what you are isn't something that I can really agree with.
And that's the big thing with this too, is that I see both sides of this. I understand where that in your particular instance, like that is, you have to draw a line in the sand. And you have to say, no, this is unacceptable. However,
yeah, we were talking about political views. Yeah. That's just straight up like,
yeah,
that's hate. Racism. That's like, hate.
Yeah.
That's,
however, well,
I mean,
what we're
that's
seeing
also
here,
political,
but that's politics.
Though.
It is.
Exactly.
The political climate exactly. has completely yeah. changed.
It has. It is.
It
is
all political.
It has emboldened people who are that far outlying category to think that they are now the majority.
Would it be fair to call that person a radical Republican?
Radical something.
No, because I think that, and I think of like Ninja Turtles, like skateboarding through the sewers.
A president who is well, and actually, there was some action before the Virginia State Legislature this week. You know, when there are laws that say that businesses cannot discriminate in terms of to whom they provide service, and yet you have a business owner who says, "Well, you know, I'm a baker," and which is this actual real story. I'm a baker, and I've been approached by a gay couple to bake a cake for their wedding, but their social situation goes against my religious beliefs,
yeah.
and I would like to deny them service. And legally, I cannot, you know? I mean, are we talking about a social issue? Are we talking about a political issue? Are we talking about a religious issue? Or is it all three, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that this is where people have all sorts of disagreements in terms of what becomes appropriate and where the law ends and religious freedom begins and where hate speech becomes religious freedom and where somebody's beliefs are being imposed upon, you know, when they just flat out disagree with somebody else's personal position.
I mean,
and,
if you look at-
you know, it's created a climate where people are not, there's a general lack of civility. Now, one other thing I want to say that I actually forgot to mention in that first rant that I made, and this goes directly to where we are politically right now, because the reason I had started to, you know, talk about the fact that I'm a Democrat is in previous elections, I may have disagreed with the political positions or the ideology of the Republican candidate. I disagreed with where a John McCain, in many cases, would have directed the country. I disagreed with where a Mitt Romney would have directed the country. But unlike this election, I didn't have any cause for concern as to the ability of John McCain to perform the job of president, nor with Mr. Romney. The fact is, Donald Trump just isn't qualified to hold this office.
Yeah.
He has no political experience. What we are seeing just in the first 2 weeks is indicative of somebody who has no clue as far as how to govern.
I
understand how frustrated people are and how the idea that a political outsider is a good idea. But you also need to have somebody who has some inkling of how government works and what it takes to make government work, or at least to function, because you can't run a government like you do a business. It's a very different kind of situation. And one of the things that we've seen in the past 2 weeks is that this man believes that nobody should disagree with him. And when you're the boss of a company, yeah, and you're paying people and you had the money to buy the company, all right, yeah, maybe you can say, nah, you know, I'm the boss, it's going to be my way or the highway. But that's not the way that a republic works. In fact, you need a certain degree of dissent in a republic, especially one that is built on freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So for those reasons, I've been very, very concerned about what has happened, as well as the president's lack of condemning some of the people who supported him, you know, some of the things that have happened since he took office, and the way that people have been emboldened, because it's not political correctness that we're talking about here run amok. Well, it's simple cultural sensitivity. And what we're seeing now is that there are a number of people who evidently feel that cultural sensitivity may be abandoned, you know, just like that situation down in Richmond. So it's very troubling to me.
You know what's funny, though, too, with all of this is that as I'm – and kind of tie this back to what we were originally going with, like where social media seems to be like the breaking point where all of this is meeting, is I've noticed that from both sides, both the far right and the far left, I can't talk to either side because they're so outlandish and they're so ridiculous. And they're
I'm what you call an ostrich when it comes to politics.
Like stick head in the sand.
Yeah. Yep.
Hold on one second. Yeah. Yuli, just so I make sure that I understood everything correctly, your answer to my question was the Washington Post?
Oh, no. I didn't actually. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. No, I didn't actually answer the question. But if I'm being given the opportunity to, I certainly will. There's no single source of news and information that I rely on.
Let's just say, where would you go first?
Comics Online.
I'm not. Wherever I go first doesn't matter. I mean, it depends what I see. And then I'm going to look at other news sources because I want to get a different perspective. And depending on who the reporter is, I mean, now there are going to be certain questions that are answered as far as who, what, where, why, when. But if you're looking at, say, the New York Times or the Washington Post or Newsweek or Time or the BBC or Al Jazeera or any news source, you're going to get, particularly if you're going with something foreign, you're going to get a different perspective than the one that you're going to get from an American news source. And anyway, but I think it's important to look at a number of different ones. And, you know, there's some that are more established. There are some that are kind of new. And, you know, particularly when I see something on, you know, some relatively new site or some internet-based site, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look for some sort of verification. But no single news source, I don't think anybody should rely on a single news source, and particularly not if it is television-based.
I get all of my news from, I don't know if you guys have heard it or not, it's a completely reputable site, it's called The Onion. All of my
all
news
of
from there.
News?
Oh, dude,
all of it.
Legit.
All of it. Yeah, totally legit. No,
Which, what was that, Mike?
It was The Onion.
The Onion.
Yeah, it's the satirical website. I actually subscribe to the same principle that Yuli does, that I will take something I see, if, like, let's just say, for instance, it pops up on Facebook, and then I will go back and look at other sources to see if it's skewed one way or the other. But also, too, I've noticed that, and I'm writing an article about this, too, so this will be up on comicsonline.com soon. Dan Rather has picked up the microphone again. He's going back to his roots of being a reporter, of being a newscaster, and he started a website called News and Guts, which it's him and people that he has shown that he knows that they are reputable, that they're going to do their fact-checking, that they're going to do this stuff. And he didn't specifically say, oh, because this one side is wrong. He said all news is just outlandish. He's like, you can't believe anything you see anymore, and I'm going to change that. I just think that's awesome that there's somebody that he's like, look, you know what? I've had enough of this shit. I'm stepping out of retirement. I'm fixing this thing. It's like that part in The Running Man when Jesse the Body Ventura is like, I'm going to fight Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, it's like that. Only they're not.
He didn't want to do that. He was like, what? You know, they're like, Captain Fantastic, report to wardrobe. He's like, what?
I love that movie, by the way. That's one of my favorites. Hey, Killian, here's Sub-Zero. Now, Plane Zero.
Hey, you know what I thought one of the best lines in that was? You know, when Arnold says to Killian, hey, I'll be back. And Killian's like, only in the reruns.
Yeah. It's funny, too, that, like, I mentioned that movie for a reason. Because they talk about that. It's a dystopian society. And it's actually written by Stephen King. And he talks about Killian is like ranting at the end, and he's talking about how we tell you what to eat, we tell you what to drink, we tell you what to watch, we tell you what to wear. He's like, media controls everything. And isn't that the truth now? Like, people will just spout off like they know exactly what they're talking about because they read some article somewhere on Facebook that told them that, you know, this is correct and this is true. Like, everybody takes everything at face value now. There's no. I feel like people don't have a bullshit alarm anymore. And, like, to kind of tie this all back to, like, the original point we were going with friends, this all stemmed from a letter, guys. And I want to read this to you, okay? Because I wanted to get that up. Because a lot of us have wanted to talk about the political side of things. But we actually got a letter. I'm super excited, like, we're that big of a deal that people actually write to us now.
Are we going
to
transition into the next subject? Is that what you're getting at?
I want to go towards the actual like friendship side of things and less towards the political, unless you have another point that you
want to make. No, in summation, I want to point out that not one person that answered the question that I asked said Facebook.
Because we're not idiots.
It's that I was just trying to call attention to that many people that are ill-informed rely solely on headlines shared.
Yeah.
And I think that is a wonderful reason and why I absolutely respect Jay Dilla's choice
to delete it, getting
out of Facebook.
She's like my hero because she does what I can't do because I'm like, when she did that, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should delete my Facebook too. And then I was like, fuck, then no one will know about the podcast.
I'm just saying, kudos to you.
I have to text so many people.
Kudos to you, Jay Dilla. If I removed my Facebook, my grandmother would call me asking me if I was still alive. So I can't.
That's what my mom did.
Yeah.
She called me. She was like, are you and Logan okay? Yeah, we're fine. Why?
And completely understandable for parents to do that.
Okay, guys, so are you...
Yeah, let's transition.
As excited about this as I am that we actually have fan mail now?
I'm very curious.
Okay, are you ready? Okay. Dear Less Than Three is our relationship arm of the Comics Online Pirate Radio
thing that we do.
Yeah, which Jay Dilla is a part of, which is why I'm so happy she's here tonight. Dear Less Than Three, I have a friend that has been been by my side for a few years now. I helped her move out of her abusive ex's house within hours of notice. Had her crash at my house a few times when she had nowhere else to go when we both ended long-term friendships we had each other. So they've always been together. They've always been close. She is someone who is not the best at returning calls normally, but it's gotten really bad lately.
In the beginning, okay, is this about me?
No.
Who is it?
Jess, I actually know exactly who Mike's talking about. I'm fairly certain I'm aware of the listener. And I can say with 100% positivity that this is not about you.
No, it's definitely not about you. Yeah,
great.
Wonderful. Let's move on. In the beginning of December, I hit her up saying, I haven't heard from you in over a month. Did I do something wrong? She hit me right up saying, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Just life has been crazy. And she was out shopping and would call me when she got home. It's now February and I've never received that call. Since then, I know that she drove to South Carolina from Virginia to pick up a friend, went to Michigan, got appendicitis, had her appendix removed, and came back home. I know this from her Facebook updates. Yet as someone who she says is her best friend of all time, it doesn't seem right at all. Hang on one second. Where did I lost my place. Haha. Yet as someone who she says is her best friend. There it is. I am very frustrated for having to carry the full weight of this friendship all the time and not sure what to do. Should I tell her off, just unfriend her and write her off? Thank you. And this was this is Matt is the name that we're going to go with.
Can I jump in right out the gate here, guys?
Sure.
My suggestion is this. Don't.
Chill.
Don't.
Yeah,
because so much of our society has accepted Facebook as that is her keeping up to date. The fact that she posted a status saying what's going on in her life, in her head, she did tell you because you're in her friends list and you are friends on Facebook. So you know what's going on because she did share it with you. Now, the direct communication lacking, I can understand how that would hurt as somebody that you've been so close to and like that you don't talk on the phone, that you don't interact in a more fluid level. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that she has scorned you or taken less value in your friendship. It might just mean that's the easy way for her to cope with what her life has become.
Well, and also, too, I mean, like, the big thing with this, and to compare this and temper this with the conversation we were having before about politics is one thing, you know? Like, if somebody is just, like, you guys are just completely on separate pages and you can't talk to them, maybe you should unfollow them, maybe you should unfriend them. But somebody who you've shared such...
a deep emotional connection with.
Yeah. Like, it's a little bit different. And I think that really I've found, and this is maybe just from years of experience, because let me tell you, I have been that person who has been like, you know, why am I carrying all of this weight? And started that conversation and then subsequently ended that friendship.
I think we should ask our ghosting expert.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But yeah, like, it's... patience is important. But yeah, Jay Dilla, you're the ghosting expert. I mean, you've... You've pulled this move once before. Tell us.
You might have some insight into
insight
what
this. Yeah.
You might have some insight.
I am internally
into this
rolling my eyes until they fall out of my face right now. So, okay, here's my two cents. One, friendships in general should not be emotionally, physically, or mentally draining to you. Your friends are supposed to be there for you and lift you up and be your friend. So one, if you're sitting there and you're like, I'm carrying all this baggage and I'm holding up this friendship, what are you expecting? Like it's like you're only doing it expecting something back. I have a friend who, I have a lot of feelings about this apparently. I have a friend who lives in Northern Virginia. He is an app developer. He is an actual adult, whereas I'm like halfway there. And he has a relationship, and we go 6 months without talking to each other. And I'll text him and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I love you. I hope everything's going okay. I did see when I had Facebook, I would say I saw this update. Congratulations on what's going on. Or like, if you ever want to talk about something, I'm here. And then I just let the text message go and I send it to him. And if he doesn't respond for 3 months, I'm not like, wow, I took that time out of my day to text message you and you couldn't even text message me back, because I get that he's busy. I get that he's doing things. I know that if it really came down to it, he would be there for me if I needed him. And if you have a friend where you're like, deep down, they wouldn't be there for me, then yeah, it's fucking time to not deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, and you make a really, really good point. But can I respond to what you said with something that I... Because you and I are very similar in a lot of ways. It's part of the reason why we've been friends for so long. My wife told me this and it like blew my mind. She said that, you know, half of your problem that you have with people is the expectations that you put on them. And she said that if you didn't set your expectations so high, I mean, she basically pulled a Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, oh, you tried and you failed miserably. What's the lesson in this? Never try again. Like, it's, if you don't.
Can't win, don't try.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't, like, a lot of times you project the things that you want people to do onto them. And this is me, and this might be you too. But, like, you want people to be a certain way. You want them to respond a certain way. You want them to act a certain way. They should do this. I'm doing all of this. Why aren't they doing the same? And that's, to a certain degree, that's not really what friendship is about.
No.
And, again, I see both sides of it. Because, trust me, I've felt both sides of it.
Yeah.
But definitely. At the same time, too, like, for me, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. I have friends that I haven't seen in decades that are across the country. But I can pick up a phone right now, talk to them, and it's like we...
Like never skipped a beat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got friends in California that I almost never talk to. I don't text them, I don't whatever, but one of them called me the other day. She was having issues with her boyfriend. She called me, we talked for a while. Like, we're really good friends. And it wasn't an issue. Like, there's no resentment because, you know, we haven't talked in a year.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind of what I mean, though. The person who wrote in, I'm not trying to be terrible to you because it's cool that we have fan mail and all, but I think that I don't want to come off as being mean. Again, I'm the one that ghosts on people. The thing is, if she wants to reach out to you, she will. If you guys have been friends for that long and you've been through that much together, it's not like she's like, oh, I'm too shy to reach out, or maybe he's going to react this way. She's just got shit going on, and you can take a step back from the friendship too without being like, I'm never talking to you again. You can just take a step back and let it whatever, and then in a few months or weeks or in a year or whatever, you can reach out and just be like, hey, thought about you. Hope you're doing good. Yeah, and that's still a friend.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Maybe reach out to them, because it sounds like...
Now, I want to give this to our other guest via Skype, too, because he's probably got a different perspective on this. Yuli, what's your take on this?
So specifically about friends interacting here and that whole... who is supposed to sustain the friendship and is a virtual friendship legitimate, you know, in this modern world? I mean, is that more or less the question? Or?
Well, yeah, that and now that, I mean, because for us, for my generation, because I mean, I'm I'm a Gen Xer. So, like, the whole latchkey kid, like, kind of raised yourself because your parents were both working sort of thing. Whereas, like, J. Dilla would be more of your millennial or Generation Y. But those two generations grew up with technology as a very prevalent part of their life. I mean, we grew up with the internet. The internet was something that happened, like, for me in middle school, you know? And then you got it all the way going through high school. As far as I know, Jess has always had internet connection. Like, she was born with, like, a Wi-Fi dongle, like, right behind her ear. But, like,
I swear I'm a girl.
Well, friendships have transitioned to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, see, I'm technically a baby boomer. I mean, the very, very end of the boom, and it had already started to decline dramatically. You know, by the time I came along, but again, I just happened to fall technically within that category.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of friends that I have, and I've faced this situation where, in fact, I tried an experiment with a guy, because if we were talking on the phone, it was because I called him. And so I said, you know what, let me see what happens if I don't call George. How long will it be before he calls me? And that motherfucker hasn't called me in years. And so I'm like, well, fuck it. Now, you know, we're Facebook friends. And he's one of these. Well, I'm not going to get too into talking about it, but I'm kind of upset about the fact that, you know, he doesn't call.
Yeah.
But we do sort of communicate via Facebook. And well, not really. I mean, he posts stuff and, you know, he'll sometimes comment on what I've posted. I'm closer to his wife on Facebook than I am to him, quite frankly. You know, we'll have more of an interaction.
You sly dog. Look at you.
Well, you know, the thing is, this guy, he's something of a bleeding heart. You know, I mean, real idealistic cat. And, you know, I mean, it's like, all right, if that's the way you're going to go. I mean, I was idealistic back when I was like 18, but you know, then the real world beckons and, you know, you can't, hey, I mean, you know, rainbows and unicorns, I love them, but that's not like the real world, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but I do believe that in these changing times, you know, you email, texting, social media, you know, be it Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, all of these have become legitimate means of communicating and interacting, and they do count as ways to keep a friendship open. Now, depending on where you happen to fall, I mean, I got a close friend. I was emailing him, and he emails me, and he's like, hey, Yuli, I'm your friend, not your business partner, you know? And I'm like, dude, it's another way to keep in communication. And yet, there are people, I got another friend who, she was sort of a lurker, and so she canceled her Facebook account. She's like, well, I don't ever use it. And I'm like, well, how are you going to see pictures of Phil's baby? And how are you going to keep up with what's happening with, you know, so-and-so and such and such? And, you know, but she was a lurker. And so she's like, well, I don't feel right. I'm just going to cancel it. And I'm like, oh, geez, well, good luck getting in touch with you, you know? So, I mean, is it always comfortable? No, not necessarily. I mean, is this something that, you know, perhaps older people or, you know, people who are less comfortable interacting with different levels of technology or social media, is it something they have to adapt to if they're going to maintain their friendships and other relationships? Possibly. And I think that there needs to be a certain sensitivity to that on the part of these resistant people and a willingness to explore new ways to interact and to get along with people, because this stuff isn't going away and it's only becoming more and more prevalent as far as the influence that it has on our lives. And frankly, you are left behind if you don't participate.
It's true. Eric, Mr. Meyer, I want your perspective on this too, because you kind of existed in an interesting world. You did something that a lot of people don't do. You were here in Virginia. You followed somebody out west for a relationship.
Yep.
It didn't work out. You stayed there and then eventually came back. I mean, are you still friends with this person? Like, how does that work? Like, you basically uprooted your entire life to be with that person, to be there. And then, and I'm not trying to, like, blow up your spot or make you cry or anything like that. This isn't, like, you know, Eric Meyer therapy hour. But
no,
more
I've,
so,
I've,
like...
I've gotten to a good place.
Okay,
with
yeah.
this situation.
I mean, you got an awesome girl, too, by the way. Like, Jenna Lee, if you're listening, you know, hey... Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
But yeah, like, it's, give a little perspective on this. Like, what was it like keeping those friendships together when you had all of this other shit going? Because I remember talking to you when you were out there.
Yeah.
And you essentially just being like, sometimes I just don't even, like, I just want to stay in bed all fucking day. It's just me and my dogs. Like, that's all I want to do. Like, it's hard enough to, like, have a conversation with a person.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I got real depressed for a while after that relationship broke down. As for moving out there and having friends here,
yeah,
it was fine. Like, you and I kept in touch. Obviously, yeah. Me and Gus kept in touch. A couple of my friends came out to visit me in San Diego. So, I mean, I had no problem. I came back to visit my parents, and I would stop around, see everybody while I was in town. So, yeah. I mean, that was no problem. It was definitely once my ex and I broke up, there was a rough patch, but we stayed friends.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, there was probably a month or two afterwards where I was like, fuck you. But, you know, you need that period for a time. But we became friends after that. We actually hung out while I was in San Diego. We still hung out from time to time. We'd go out to dinner or something.
Yeah.
She knew I was piss poor, so she would sometimes stop by and drop me groceries and shit. Because I moved out here for her and didn't really have that great of a job. And it didn't last that long. So, like, I'm making, you know, minimum wage living in San Diego. Like, fuck, I couldn't afford anything. So,
yeah.
She was kind enough to still help me out. And we're still friends. I'd say even to this day, we're still friends. We don't obviously talk a whole lot. But,
yeah.
I mean, even the people that I consider, like, my closest friends, like, I don't really talk to a whole lot. Like, you know, one lives in Charlottesville, the asshole, Gus.
And, son of a bitch.
You know, everyone else has kids. And so it's like, you know, they just don't get out getting hammered as much as we used to. But
may I ask you a question about that situation with the woman in San Diego?
Of course.
Okay. Now, you've referred to her as a friend, and yet you relocated out there on her behalf. So that was, I mean, the distinction I make there is, I mean, of course, you can be friends, but it sounds like it was also a romantic
at the time. She
situation.
Was my fiance. Yes.
Ah, okay. All right. So, yeah, well, to me, I mean, that goes beyond friendship. I mean, there's friendship and then there's that whole romantic liaison thing. So, I gotta say, I have a great deal of admiration for you. You know, choosing to make a transition like that on behalf of another person. I mean, that you put yourself out there. And,
it wasn't easy. I mean, I left a great job. I was managing the butcher shop downtown. I had a lot of roots here. My family was here. All my friends were here. But
I think that this right here is – I like this. I think we're going to save this part for another Less Than Three because – there's another person that just happens to be on Skype that we added in here, too, that I think you and him and I and Mr. EK, the DJ, will have a long chat about the heartache of dealing with being broken up with. Formerly of Baltimore, now living in Northern Virginia, it is editor-in-chief of Comics Online himself. His name is Kevin Goswan.
Hello again.
Hey, geez. Hey, we were talking about you earlier, dude. Did you hear it?
My daughter was falling asleep on me. So I put her to bed and said,
you are.
No, I didn't even know you were going to be on the show.
We talked so much shit about you. Oh, my God.
I would have, you know, just put her, you know, in the garage or something if I'd have known Yuli was on the show.
Wow.
Jesus. Hey, that's not as funny as the shit I said about you.
Kevin, give us your take on this, man. Like, because you have some very strong opinions about things, and
I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, give us your take on kind of dealing with having a strong opinion about something and people not really seeing eye to eye with you and willing to start shit with you over Facebook or even in person to the point where they're no longer friends. Is there a line that you draw? Do you say, hey, you know, like let's chill, okay? This is just, you know, us typing stuff. Maybe we need to talk face to face about this.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, when it comes to that sort of thing, oh, wow, I'm getting a really bad echo. So I'm just going to talk. Wave your arms or something if I go too long. But yeah, I've had that problem politically. You know, I've been getting into political arguments lately about, you know, the current state of America and that sort of thing. And, you know, I had to delete a bunch of my you know, crappier friends. And that was, you know, that was hard for me. You know, there are some people where you're just like, you know, I know this person's an asshole, and I know they're kind of sexist, or they're kind of racist, or whatever their problem is. But then, you know, you finally get rid of them, and you're like, oh God, I just feel better.
Yeah.
And but it's hard to do. Is that what you were looking for?
Basically, yeah. Because
because you
know, and Jess knows, and the Erics know to a certain degree, that like you get to a point where toxic shit just needs to be purged from your life. And a perfect example, I try normally not to talk about this because he's still my little brother and I still love him ultimately. But
oh, okay.
What a shit stain that kid is. like, it's... And I'm going to defend him while insulting him. It's going to be weird for a second, so just give me like a minute here.
All you got to do is love him. You don't have to like him.
Thank you. That's... Yuli, that... So well spoken. Thank you. That's perfect. Yeah. Like, what an asshole this kid is. Because... Mind you, he managed to go to the University of Virginia and get a degree in psychology for free. You know how he got in for free? Because him and my mom worked the system. They worked the system so that he could go to school for free. Granted, he had great grades in order to necessitate this, to enable to get the things that he got for going to school. But at the same time, he went to school
facilitate.
For free. Facilitate.
There you go.
Thank you. I couldn't come up with the word. I appreciate that. EK the DJ also filling in his dictionary tonight. Ha, dick. But also, too, the big thing with all of this was, like, the last few years, because our mom passed away in 2014, and I thought me and my mom had a weird relationship. My brother and her had an even weirder relationship because they're essentially the same person. So imagine, like, having a child or a parent that's exactly like you. How can you fight with them? You can't because you're fighting with yourself. It was watching them fight was just like, how the hell is this even happening? But like, ever since she passed away, he's been insufferable to deal with. Just like mopey and an asshole. Like, okay, everybody here, you may not agree with their... You're never going to say like, hey, what's the best quality food you can ever get? Golden Corral. Like, that's not going to... Those two things don't go in a sentence together. But like, if somebody says to you, hey, we're going to Golden Corral, we're paying, who's going to say no to that? Anybody?
Not me.
Yeah. Most people won't. But
yeah,
my little brother, being the prick that he is, crossed his arms and said, no, I'm going to sit in the car.
The fuck has he got against Golden Corral?
Because he's better than that. Because he's a diva.
And no one is better than their rolls. Excuse you.
Yeah, I know. The rolls are awesome, aren't they? Oh, and their mini burgers? Seriously. What the... amazing.
If nothing else, hit the dessert bar.
Yeah, just stick your face under the chocolate waterfall. You're good.
Right?
Thank you.
It's all you can eat.
I'm glad that the logic isn't lost on you guys.
They have gravy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Either way, I love the kid to death, and I kept trying to include him in my life. And I kept trying. And Sandy, my wife, was almost like mother hen with him. Like, here, let me go buy you this piece of clothing that you need for your job interview. Let me do this. She basically just kind of like came in and took over and cleaned him up and like pointed him in the right direction. And then like... He just was a bigger prick and a bigger prick and just more and more and more. And it built up to the point where I was in a raffle at work for tickets to a Redskins-Browns game. And I didn't win. I thought I was going to. And I told my brother, I was like, if I win, I'm going to take you to this game. They didn't win. He held that against me and was like, you never do anything for me. We're not friends anymore because you never do anything for me. And I was like, we're not friends? What are you, eight? Like, what? Are you mad because I didn't return your action figure? Like, what the fuck is this? And he just went off. And instead of, like, begging him for forgiveness, begging him to take me back, like my mom would do to him all the time, because he would treat her like shit, and then my mom would be like, oh, Nicky Noodle, I'll do whatever I can to keep you happy. And I won't do that. I refused. I was like, no, I'm done. And it sucks because my brother's not in my life anymore. But you know what's not also in my life anymore? The fucking bullshit that he created, the drama, the venom, just this like overall shitty feeling. Like, I mean, can any of you guys kind of understand like how shitty it feels to try so hard to make somebody happy and no matter what you do, nothing works?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Sadly,
but yes. I was the only child.
Fuck you, Jess.
I was going to say, well, you know about my recent relationship, so.
Your escape from Baltimore door? Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Leave the door cracked, Mike. Leave the door cracked. You know, I mean, both of you guys are still young.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about the situation other than what you've told me. But I can tell you that my sister and I went through some bleak times.
Yeah.
And there was a point where I didn't want to have shit to do with her.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, now, in fact, it was funny. We were talking earlier today. I love my sister to death. I mean, I love this woman. You know, I don't know what I would do without her in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, so sometimes, I mean, it sounds like your brother needs to grow up some, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to come a point where he may regret the way he's behaved. Just when and or if that point comes, the only counsel I would offer is that you not have your heart so hardened that you can't take him back.
So,
or that you can't, if,
okay,
you know, he makes the first, or if he makes the overture, that you can't, you know, respond, you know, or you might have to make the overture, but he might respond. But just don't be so hardened, because, you know, friends, that's the family you choose.
Yeah.
Family, that's like the family you're stuck with. And God knows I have seen enough cautionary tales. You know, don't be my mother and my aunt. These women are in their 80s. My mother lives here on the East Coast. My aunt lives on the West Coast, because these women need 3,000 miles between them.
And, wow. You know, how's your sister? Fuck her.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, man.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
a cautionary tale.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, some of my extended family is that way. Like, I have a couple aunts that won't talk to each other.
Jesus.
I don't get it. Like, me and my brother have been through a few rough patches, but we live together now.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think that really to answer Matt, if you're listening, which I'm pretty sure Matt is listening.
So what you're saying is I'm not allowed over your house?
So, the Erics. We haven't told this story on Pirate Radio in a
while. Let's not tell the story.
Oh, come on, sure, it's a good fine story.
No, let's not. It's, okay. It was this such a water under the bridge, like,
it is.
Seriously, like 15 years ago.
Hey, you know what I'll do? I'll drive traffic to the old episode when we talked about it. Check out the Comics Online podcast, Comics Online Pirate Radio podcast, on whatever you choose to listen to podcasts on, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it is. Look it up. There's an episode where Eric and EK hash out their troubled past.
What's messed up? What's messed up about
him,
this?
It's his older brother.
Yeah,
what's messed up about this is, like, seriously.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten about it if it wasn't for the fact that anytime anyone who was even halfway, like, knew both of us, and that there was an issue once, one day there was an issue, an altercation, and since then there has been no interaction whatsoever, and we were kids.
Yeah.
We were kids.
And then you got assholes like me who bring it up every chance he gets. So
it's, and meanwhile, if Matt is listening, if I was a dick to you when I was 19, I'm sorry, dude. I was a dick when I was 19.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who the real dick was, his friend Ricardo. His friend Ricardo was a fucking asshole. So I don't blame you for kicking Ricardo out.
Let's put a nice little tidy bow on all of this, guys. I think to answer our listeners, Matt's question, Matt, really play it cool, man. Be Fonzie. Like, just chill. Let it go. Be there.
Friends
for
don't
your...
have to talk every day.
Yeah. You know? It's not it's not quality. It's not quantity. It's quality. You know? Be there for the person, and I'm sure that something will come up and you guys will see each other again. I'm sure it's cool. Just,
maybe invite them to Sky Zone. It's a trampoline park. It's a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. Sky Zone. Unofficial sponsor of FXPG Pirate Radio.
We need to make that happen.
We got to talk to Tori Smith and see if we can hook that up, because he owns that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Tori Smith owns Sky Zone.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. I like that place.
Are you guys ready for a little bit of fun and frivolity?
Always. We haven't been having fun and frivolity already?
It's about to get even more fun and frivolity.
It's a game. It's a game that we've played. The FXBG Comics Online crew, when we mashed ourselves together into a big ball of Play-Doh of like 9 different colors. You know, when you were a kid.
I'm sorry, what? The LGBT Comics Online crew, you say?
I mean, it kind of applies.
It does, yeah. Wow. I guess it does. We play a game.
We are allies.
There you go.
I was thinking more like super friends, but I mean, if we want to go to the...
Dude, whatever term applies, like, that is our community. Like, these are people that mean much to us.
It's true.
There you go. There you go.
The game that we play is just in regular conversation, we'll say something that sounds kind of poetic. And we're like, dude, that would make a great band name. Such instances occurred. Steve, Monica, and I were doing a show about Star Wars. And we said the name Greedo, but I don't want to go down that nerd hole. And I said, that's a great name for a punk band, Greedo and the Nerd Holes. A friend of the show, I don't even know if she still listens, was her husband was crafting phalluses out of stone, right? Like crystal wangs, if you will. And we came up with the name Stone Cock Armada. Because that just sounded metal as fuck, doesn't it? Like, that just sounds like a band that you would get thrashed in one of their concerts. Metal. Just hard as fuck, right? Just,
No pun intended.
Hey, all right, jokes. So those are some of the names that we've come up with. The game that EK, the DJ, and I came up with, we're going to start it off, and then you guys can kind of see where we're going with this. And then we're going to give us a topic, and we're all going to go around. And it's really, nobody wins, nobody loses. It's just fun. It all makes us laugh. So EK, the DJ, and I came up with the band name.
Hold on. Bonus points if you add backstory.
If you can add a backstory to the name of the band, then yeah. I agree. The topic that we chose this morning was cartoons. You have to find a way to make a band name out of a cartoon that's been on. And EK, EK, the DJ.
Okay, so picture four Great Danes in the 1960s, standing under a streetlight, singing a cappella songs. All right? Scooby-Doo-Wop.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I'm not this clever.
What? That's not clever?
No, I said I'm not this clever.
Oh. I was like, damn, she shut me down on my first one.
Oh, God. Are you guys ready for this one? A popular California punk band is looking for a new member, and they choose Kermit the Frog. They form the supergroup. It's not easy being Green Day. Thank you.
I heard you crying loud
all the way across town. Ah, gee. No time to search the world around. Because you know where I'll be found.
Kermit the Frog is
sitting in my pond.
Kermit the Frog singing any song is just Ray Romano doing karaoke. That's
exactly.
Sicker than your average, Papa Twist Cavage, off instinct, my Detroit players. Ha! Gee.
Kevin, this one's for you because she was in the X-Men cartoon, and that would be Kitty Pride and Prejudice.
Boom. Oh!
Yeah. This is my personal favorite one that I came up with today, okay? So Earth, Wind, and Fire decide that they're going to make a supergroup with Heart and Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. They call themselves Earth, Wind, Fire, Waters, and Heart. They subsequently can't use that name as they get sued by the creators of Captain Planet. Oh, come on! That was a good one!
It was a good one.
He had the power of Monkey.
Monkey. Well played.
I'll tell you, I want to hear that band, though. Earth, Wind, Fire, Heart, and
Roger Waters from Pink Floyd.
Holy shit. That would be an epic collab.
So that's the game, and that's the challenge. So it's all about coming up with, and it has to have a cartoon element and a band, some kind of band element. Now, you don't have to use a band name. You could certainly use a band's song.
Yeah.
Somehow tying them in together.
Do you want to use one that's worked really, really well with us?
Shoot.
Or do we want to let them do cartoons and see what... Because they need to have some time to think of stuff. Because they're not like us where we have this encyclopedic of bullshit that nobody needs to know.
They're not like us where we had a 3-hour conversation earlier in the day going back and forth.
Wasting our time talking about this shit.
So there was one person that had a couple of them on the feed that you put out.
Oh, my God.
I think her name was so funny. There was Camilla who had a couple.
Yeah.
Adam Dodd and I came up with one together.
Yeah.
Adam Dodd.
Adam Dodd was in on this too.
The Warner Brothers and their Warner sister Dot join up with Natalie Merchant.
Yeah.
And they create 10,000 Animaniacs.
What? My friend Ryan Shanahan from high school. So Shanahan,
there's
if you're listening.
Vegetarians in their slacks.
Well done.
Ryan Shanahan came up with, and he actually gets double points for this one, so you're going to have to ding him twice. And that's Josie and the Thundercats, because that's both a double cartoon, and Josie and the Pussycats was a band.
It's well done.
Yeah, well done, Shanahan.
That's good.
Okay, all right. How about this? I'm still working with this.
Okay.
But A Tribe Called Quest approaches Race Bannon about the professor that he protects and his young son, and they form a tribe called Johnny Quest.
Okay.
Nice.
You know what?
Done.
I put that one up earlier today, but fuck yeah for coming up with that.
Your backstory was...
We're on the
your
same page, buddy.
Is so it's, good, though.
Yeah, your backstory gives you points for that one. Another one that I'm very, very proud of. Some very Caucasian British women who are very prim and proper love them some gangster rap. 50 Cent and Sensibility. Oh, fuck you,
I'm
man.
Sorry, dude. There was no cartoon element to that.
Oh, yeah.
No cartoon element.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay, I think I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. You've come up with some of the best ones. You came up with Kitty Cat Quinceañera.
Really, if I can do that, you can do it. Come on.
Yeah, you came up with Emo Bike Ride.
So
that's a great
this.
One.
A little Joey down in Australia is serenading his one life partner, his little doggo, and the band's name is Rocco's Modern Lifehouse.
Oh my god!
and you use Lifehouse. Like, that's like my favorite shitty band of all time. Like,
hanging by a moment.
So good.
Hanging by a moment here with marsupials.
No, it's hanging by a moment here with Rue.
Hey. Wait, hang on. In the term that we've been using, hanging by a moment here with Rue.
Kermit. that's good, Jess. That's a good one.
Oh, Kevin came up with.
Well, it's like 30 some years ago now, but if you think back, you know, back into the 80s, there was a rap group, but then a spinoff of this. There was a cartoon cat and a cartoon dog, but the cat was always wanting you to express yourself, and this is MC Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, well done.
There you go.
Well done. How about a young African-American child doctor who does surgery on her pets and stuffed animals? But also has affinity for 90s grunge rock. Spin Doc McStuffins.
This is a shout out to Jeremy Lee, a buddy of mine who's actually going to be working on another radio project pretty soon. He said Pinky and the Brain Smokers, and I said, or if you're from DC, you know about the famous punk band, and that would be Pinky and the Bad Brains.
Well done. Yeah. Double points.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A good one.
Camilla Lunsford, my cousin from who the fuck knows? We're both Lunsfords. She says, okay, this is really hard, but I'll give it a shot. Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble become disillusioned with their lives, start partying, and they start a hard rock band called Kings of the Stone Age. And I was like, all right, you know what? For your first attempt, that was pretty good.
I think that's good.
Her best one, though, here we go. The Tasmanian Devil has fallen on hard times and decides to pursue his true passion of covering classic music from the 50s and 60s and cross-dressing when he starts a band called Tasmanian Devil in a Blue Dress.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
How about Elmer Fudd starts his own country cover band?
Oh, shit, that's right.
Wascal Flats.
there's some dings right there.
Life is a highway.
I want to ride it all night long. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That Wascally Wabba is hard to find. Oh my god. There were a couple of other ones that were just really, really good. Let me see if I can find them. This is from Adam Dodd. He came up with Linkin South Park, which was good. But the best one that he did was another guy, John Cooper Pierce, came up with Tommy from Rugrats starts a swing band called Tommy and the Pickles. And I was like, that's pretty good. Adam Dodd's response was Chucky from Rugrats starts a one-man band called Ed Sheeran. Oh, my God.
That wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam Dodd is actually a professional stand-up comedian.
Yes,
so
he is.
Like he's a pro. Like
he gets paid to say things like that.
A poppy rock band who got famous for videos on treadmills and Transformer ripoffs, the OK GoBots.
I like it.
Let me go to, because I actually posted this in two separate places, and there were some really, really good ones. One girl came up with one that was amazing. Just imagine Bart Simpson, Lisa Simpson, and Maggie Simpson wearing, like, slicked back hair and some badass sunglasses, and you know what they call themselves? The Synthsons.
I like it.
Oh, man.
I got another one.
Go for it, Jess.
Okay. So everyone knows the popular show that makes jokes about political and social issues. And in the show, the characters decide to get together and write a song about America being close to the edge, about to break. Okay. They name their group South Lincoln Park.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, take it.
She gave the story.
She gave the story.
She gave the story to bonus, Adams, yeah.
Bonus
yeah.
points.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see if we can get some other ones here.
Got one for you.
Go ahead, man. Do it.
An 8-year-old boy joins a house full of odd characters. They like to sing about sneakers. It's Foster the People's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Well played. Okay.
How about a child riding a tricycle? Has an extreme coke problem and rocky relationship, rocky relationships times and often at times. Bobby Brown's World.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
I'm giving myself points.
Fair enough. So Tom Cruise from Risky Business plays a little air guitar. But no, he was not just some high school kid doing this. He was no guitar, the last air fender.
Half points because Tom Cruise is not a cartoon.
Okay, so Shelley Bayless, we're giving you credit for that one.
Half points?
Yeah. Shayla Dawn McClendon. This motherfucker. Listen to this one.
This motherfucker. Not an adjective I was expecting for that name.
Are you ready for this? Futurama mamas and papas.
Futurama's. Futurama's and the Papas.
Oh, that was pretty good. Oh, man. Some of these were friggin' wonderful, and I'm trying to find all of them. Like,
what was it? Bananaramas and Pajamas?
that was mine. Yeah, Bananaramas and Pajamas. Yeah.
That was a good one.
The Butthole Smurfers.
Excellent.
King of the Cypress Hill.
I'll take it.
Let's see what other ones we got here that were just really, really good. God, I can't even like,
there were so many.
Thank you everybody for responding. Cause you guys just like made my day as I was reading these, laughing my ass off all day.
It had such a wonderful response.
It really did. Like, yeah, I'm looking for the one that Shelley said that just like the Simpsons, that was the one that I gave her like the mad props for. But, oh yeah, even my cousin Donnie, Fat Bottomed Albert.
I'll take it.
Nice one. But do you remember when Michael Jackson moved to Texas for a little while?
Oh, shit.
From the band, you know, with Bobby and Hank, and they were King of Pop of the Hill.
I like it.
I'll take it, yeah.
I like it.
Are you ready? You ready for this one? Because this is a double one. He doesn't give us a backstory, but he gives us the name, and then he explains the band. He says, Fragglewood Mac.
It needs no explanation.
But hey, they rock too. Mighty. This was from Shanahan again. Fucking Ryan Shanahan, man. Chris Brown, not that Chris Brown. Christopher Brown, or Critter, as Steve Monick knows him because he's a friend of Steve's. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers create a rock falsetto band called Power Ranges, and close every night with Dream On, with DJ Alpha as the opening act.
Okay.
Oh, Chris, you got the buzzer.
Not a cartoon.
Sorry, Chris.
Excellent band name. Not a cartoon.
Sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. NWA and Daffy Duck put out a poignant track called Duck the Police.
Oh, no.
that was mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Dory from Finding Dory becomes an alternative rock queen with some nonsensical lyrics. That would be Dory Amos.
I'll take it. She only sings one lyric.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she forgets all the rest.
She forgets all the rest of them. Oh, Chris redeems himself. Jean Grey breaks up with Cyclops. He and Logan start a duo with nothing but boy band breakup songs. The X-Men, E-X-M-E-N. my buddy Matt Irwin came up with Lil' Kim Impossible.
I'll take it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let me see if we got any other really, really good ones. Oh, okay. You guys have to guess the name of this one. Are you ready? He's an R&B singer, and he goes on a great adventure fraught with peril, dungeons, rupees, and items. In the end, fights an evil wizard to save the day, the night, and the girl, too. Name this band.
God.
Technically, it's a video game.
Yeah, but I'll give that because video games kind of are cartoons.
Yep. R&B singer.
R&B singer.
Goes on a great adventure fraught with peril, dungeons, rupees, and items. In the end, fights an evil wizard to save the day, the night, and the girl, too.
I can't.
Is it Prince Rogers Nelson of Persia?
No, that's good, though. I like that.
That is good. That is good.
The correct answer would be John Legend of Zelda.
I knew it was something with Zelda.
John Legend of Zelda. That's excellent.
Oh, man. You'll like this one, Eric, because you're a big music fan. A goofy 80s alternative sung by smooth R&B style. Sade might be Giants. Okay, guys. I mean, if you've got any more. I mean, I had Ed, and Eddie Van Halen. I had a smart and cynical girl goes through teenage life as a proud outsider in a world of mainly idiotic adolescents and condescending adults, all the while hiding her identity as a member of an over-the-top grotesque punk metal band. The name of that band is Gwaria.
All right, okay. I'm gonna take one last stab.
Do it. Do it.
So, all right. Porky Pig, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, join up with Brian Nelson, Sid Barrett, and Phil Spector to form a band called the Looney Tunes.
The Loonies.
I'll take
the
it.
Looney Tunes.
I'll take
the Looney
it.
The Looney Tunes.
I'll take it.
Okay, all right.
Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory does a cover of a Johnny Cash song, and he calls it I Walk the Lab. That's kind of a groaner, though, but womp womp. David Bowie and Nickelodeon collaborated back in the 90s for the track Rocco's Modern Love. Nothing. Okay. Let's see. I think those are the highlights. Unless, let's see if anybody else has got any more. Jay Dilla, do you have any more?
No.
Oh, you came up with some great ones, though. Like
you did.
That.
You did the two that you had. Was it two or three that you had? Like they're strong.
Well, yeah. Robin, remember when Robin left Batman for a while to go emo? You know, like Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
And you know he went all emo and he joined Fall Out Boy Wonder.
Well done.
Very nice.
Oh,
Fall Out Boy Wonder.
Fall Out Boy Wonder.
And while that was happening, Batman went off and. collaborated with Ozzy to make Bat Sabbath.
Bat Sabbath?
Bat Sabbath? That just needs to happen.
Bat Sabbath.
Like just Ozzy singing.
No.
Batman, like, yeah.
If Bat Sabbath were to become a real thing, it would be Adam West singing for Black Sabbath.
That's true.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, we need to make this happen before he dies.
Yeah. Fred Flintstone becomes a male model, but also turns that male model into a budding music career. And the name of that band is Right Said Fred Flintstone. Oh, for all you indie folks, Shrek meets up with a bluegrass fusion band and they rock out. The name of this band is Bella Shrek and the Shrektones. Let me just state this right now. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you guys are fucking awesome. These are great.
So many. The response.
Glad you didn't unfriend them.
Yeah, I know. See, look at Yuli. Look at this pro,
with the,
man.
With the throwback.
Throwing it back. Jeez. Man, I don't know what we would do without you, man. Bringing us back on topic. Guys, this was for a show that I thought was going to come off the rails completely.
Are we going to say that's game over for right now? Game over until next time. Yeah. Hashtag awesome band names.
Yeah. Go ahead. So the game's over, folks. That's going to do it for us for this installment of
Hashtag Awesome Band Names.
Oh, wait.
We got one after the buzzer.
One more.
Okay, good. See, this is
I don't know what the hell this cartoon was, but Littlest Pet Shop Boys.
Well done.
See, you see how addictive it becomes though, Yuli? Like you start doing it all the time. Like you'll say things and like you'll just look at somebody and be like, that'd be an awesome band name.
Well done.
And for all you listeners out there, hashtag awesome band names. Look it up because we're going to start it. It's going to become a trend. That shit is going to trend on Twitter. I guarantee it. It is so much fun to do. We'll come up with another topic next time. But let's go around the table real quick and thank everybody. We'll start with Jay Dilla. Jay Dilla, thank you so much for coming on. I know you were having all sorts of crazy issues with your technology. Thank you so much for getting back on the show, though.
Yeah, sorry I was a little late.
It's all good because we will have you back on again. We'll schedule this because we love having you on for the music shows. So we'll have another music show coming up here real, real soon. Big thanks to Kevin Goswan, the editor-in-chief of Comics Online. Again, thank you for coming on, buddy. I know things didn't work out the way we wanted it to, but we still got you on. And you got to give some really awesome band names. I really like Fall Out Boy Wonder.
That one was awesome.
That was outstanding.
And that set me up.
I look forward to listening to the rest of this, and I really look forward to next Wednesday with John St. John returning.
Oh, yes, please plug the shit out of that. John St. John coming back.
Hell yeah.
Coming back to Comics Online. Hell yeah.
As he should.
Super excited about that, too.
I am stoked about that.
Hey, did we mention that girls band from England teaming up with those wonderful little girls from Townsville to be the Powerpuff Spice Girls.
Well done. I like that he's hooked on this now. That's even better. My wife Sandy just texted me and said, if pigs could rap, Salt and Peppa Pig. Well done, babe.
How about combining the cartoon that I hate more than anything in the world and a band that I hate more than any band in the world?
Oh shit, here it comes.
Caillou 2.
There you go.
See, I was gonna say that Caillou takes over for Alanis Morissette and sings Caillou Ought to Know. In that obnoxious voice singing about going down on somebody in the theater. We are fucked up, man.
The topic that wouldn't die.
Oh my god. But big thanks again to Kevin Goswan. Big thanks to Jay Dilla for coming on. Big thanks to Ulysses Campbell. You can check Uli out at fantasticforum.tv. You can check him out at
WERAFM.FM.
Yes, WERA.FM. He's got his show coming up tomorrow at 4 p.m. on Arlington Independent Media, which is going to be 96.7.
WERA 96.7 FM, your community radio station.
Oh, snap. And you can listen to that on WERA.FM. Big thanks to Eric Meyer, the awesome coming off the bench. You're going to hate this because you're a Pittsburgh guy, but you're like fucking Tom Brady, man. You came off the bench. You led us to the promised land.
He receives a phone call. Hey, we're starting a show in 10 minutes, and we need another co-host. And he says, I'm on my way.
Yeah, baby, I know it.
You're awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for showing up.
Man, anytime.
Eric, grab your guitar.
You grab my guitar?
We have to sing It's Not Easy Being Green Day. So are you guys ready for some more Kermit the Frog?
My.
Wait, what about Walk the Sailor Moon?
I was gonna try this Facebook Live thing out with Eric and I singing earlier, but we were doing some Green Day, and we're gonna sing it in the voice of Kermit the Frog. So this is the first song of It's Not Easy Being Green Day. Are we gonna do When I Come Around, or are we gonna do Basket Case? Yeah, Basket Case. Okay. I gotta get in the voice.
Do you have the time to listen to my swine, Miss Piggy, about everything and nothing at all? I am one of those melodramatic frogs, neurotic to the bone, don't doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps, mostly when Fozzie pulls a joke on me. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me, like when Gonzo convinced us that he was an alien. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Or am I just... Well, I can't say stoned, because I'm a Muppet. So I guess we'll talk about frogs and lily pads and other things like that. Green Day says some pretty things that I can't really say. I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. He says it's lack of other Muppets that's getting me down. I went to a pond to see what else was beyond. He says that maybe I should find some more friends. Sometimes I want to unfollow people, but I don't. Sometimes I want to unfriend them, but I don't do that either, because I'm a good friend. It all keeps adding up. I'm just a frog who wants to be friends. Am I just paranoid, or should I get another Facebook for just like my commercial stuff and not for my personal use? Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, it's not I'm easy glad being Green Day that whole time.
Oh God, what were you saying?
I was laughing my ass off.
Were you really? That shit is gonna go number one. Okay.
Oh, dude. Number one.
I think that's gonna be the weekly challenge too. When we start doing these, when we start doing these awesome band names,
you have to sing.
You have to find songs.
There needs to be a cover that fits into one of these band names.
I'm gonna have to be working on my impressions so much more now. Like.
I get that Adam West impression ready.
I don't know if I can do an Adam West. I've never tried an Adam West.
Just watch Family Guy.
Fuck, what does he say? I'm trying to think of stuff that he
says
now.
Dude, the whole Boy Wonder, the Boy Wonder thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
That was
excellent, and it made me think of Robin starts an Oasis cover band called Boy Wonderwall.
as Jess is fond
That's
of saying.
Plays.
As Jess is That's fond it. Of saying, so anyway, it's nice. Here's Wonderwall. All right, guys. So there's the weekend. The weekend is telling us that it's the weekend.
It's Fuck yeah, it is.
Hey, who do we like in the Super Bowl on Sunday, guys?
I'm Falcons. Picking
the commercials.
I'm picking Patriots. One, because I'm a Patriots fan. Like when Washington sucks, I root for New England. But two, because I can't wait to see Tom Brady just give Roger Goodell the double middle finger and says, "You stupid son of a bitch, you gave me 4 games off at the beginning of the season. That was the dumbest thing you could have possibly done. And now I'm gonna shake this trophy in your face, you stupid bastard." Like that just sounds like the best revenge story ever.
You son of a bitch.
Exactly.
I just don't want the Patriots to have 6 Super Bowls.
I know, but you guys have how many?
6.
Oh, you don't want to be tied.
Oh, wait, no. They've got 4. They've got 4.
Oh, they've only got 4.
Yeah, this would be 5. Oh. That doesn't make it okay.
I don't want them to have 5. I want to be 2 ahead of them.
I want them to be able to knock Dallas off of their pedestal. Because if they get 5, then the Cowboys have nothing else to be happy about.
Think about this, though. I know you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Atlanta's never won a championship. They've only even been there once back in 1997.
The only Atlanta...
Oh, and that was because Minnesota folded up.
Yeah. Because the most accurate kicker in NFL history missed an extra point. Tell me he wasn't getting paid off.
Oh, I believe he was.
I mean,
totally.
all those Indian casinos in Minnesota... There's a connection. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Anderson, we're on to your shit. Man.
Your cover's blown, Anderson.
Yeah. Atlanta's only championship, the Atlanta Braves in like 1995.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So, not only does my hate for the Patriots fuel this and the fact that they took my team out of the Super Bowl, out of going to the Super Bowl. Well, really, my team did that because they sucked. They didn't even show up for that game. But that's beside the point.
I
just think Atlanta. They're a good fan base. I mean, they've been very, very loyal to the Falcons. And,
I, however, disagree. I hate the state of Georgia. In fact, I hope it burns in fiery, fiery flames.
Even Savannah?
All of it.
Savannah's gorgeous.
All of it.
Come on.
All of it. And I love peaches. That's saying a lot. I do not like Georgia. Don't like it. Don't like it. I even was willing, like, if you listen to the podcast that we did earlier this week, it was myself, it was Kevin, it was Steve. We enacted a 3-country trade where, like, we're going to work with Canada. They're going to take some of our cap hit. We're going to trade Georgia, Washington, Oregon, and California to Canada. We're going to get Nova Scotia, but then we get Puerto Rico as a state, and then we also get Guam and American Samoa. And then it's 50 states. We don't have to change shit.
Yeah, but we already got American Samoa and Puerto Rico.
And
but
Guam.
Then they become
Isn't
states.
Guam an American territory,
They're
too?
American territories, but they become states.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the trade was with Canada. I mean, that's not equitable. Canada needs to give up something besides Nova Scotia. I mean, all you got is them giving up Nova Scotia, and we're giving them all those states.
We're over on the cap, though. They're taking our cap.
No.
They have cap space.
They're going to owe us a lot more. They're going to owe us a lot more than Nova Scotia, because they also pushed Bieber and Drake on us.
Aw, shit.
Oh, God.
Well, see, I think and we ought to get Toronto too.
Oh, that's a good trade. We got to take Toronto.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, we need another basketball team.
Yeah, we need another basketball team and a baseball team because it was wrong when a Canadian team won the World Series.
What the fuck was that about?
The city's pretty cool
too, and it's fairly close to Detroit.
That's true. It's actually further south than Detroit.
I don't think those DC shows, you know, people are going to want to be Americans. Frankly, I think they're pretty happy being in Canada these days.
Oh, that's true.
Well, you're right, but they don't get a say.
It's not up to you, Grant Gustin.
They have powers, Ulysses. They have powers. I've seen it on TV.
Quit fucking up the timeline, Barry. on that note, guys, my name is Mike Lunsford, and for everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online Pirate Radio.
Disclaimer. The opinions expressed in this podcast may not represent those of Comics Online, any participants, or any employers, past, present, or future. If you would have thought otherwise without hearing this disclaimer, maybe you're not ready for this whole internet thing, much less all these delicious, delicious band names. Or maybe you're instead one of our smart and sexy fans who appreciate foul language. Ulysses on the show once again, fighting sarcasm and everything geek pop culture. If you have comments or questions for we, the Comics Online podcasters, post on our Facebook page, tweet us on Twitter, or email us at podcast@comicsonline.com.
We do get
be sure
email.
To check out Yuli on the radio, and of course, find him wherever he is via his website, which is fantasticforum.tv. And all original material in this podcast, copyright Comics Online.
2017. Give us a bitches, Eric, and then we'll get out of here.
Bitches.
Thank you. We'll hear him next week, live. John St. John. Seriously, why are you still listening? The show's over.
In your ear holes.
All up in your ears.
This has been a Comics Online Pirate Radio Network production, Juice Bags. Yeah, boy.